In the book of Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28, New King James Version, you'll see these words. It says, and whoever, somebody say whoever. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your, y'all can say that loud. Let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen? You may be seated. This is going. Let me first just begin by saying a heartfelt thanks to all the ministers who stood in the gap these last 5 weeks or so. Minister Thelma Jackson, Minister Keisha Thomas, Minister Wayne Thomas, Minister Greg Seaton, and then Lady Nora. Amen? I want to thank you all for standing on the Word of God and preaching with power and authority. Today, I want to begin a little short series that is entitled Intentional Service. Serve God with intentionality. Now, I got a question for you. I don't want you to answer it out loud, but I want you to think about this. So in your own mind, you can get a frame of reference to where you're at when it comes to this word, serve or service. If I were to ask you, how do you serve the Lord? What would be your response? Gears ought to be turning right now. I hope you're not getting a blank page. But if I were to ask you, how do you serve the Lord? What would be your response? And I hope right now in your mind you're telling yourself something. Amen. Because if you studying long, then Houston, we got a problem. Think about that. So what I want you to see is this. In the Bible, the word service or serve encompasses acts of worship and obedience along with humility to God. Serving God involves following his commandments, offering praise, which we just got through doing, and living a life that reflects his teaching. It also encompasses serving others. In other words, it means helping, supporting, and loving others by showing kindness, compassion, and generosity. Service is related to worship. Somebody say worship. We're going to see that. And work. Somebody say work. See, we got to get both of those W's down. Y'all ain't said amen right there. Whenever I pause, that's time for y'all to say amen. We got to get both of those W's down. We got to serve God with our worship when we come into the house. We're going to show you that. And then we got to serve him with our works. Amen. And so ultimately, biblical service is about putting God and others before yourself with a heart to seek to glorify God in all things. I remember when I was in the Air Force, one of our core values was service before self. In other words, you know, we had what, integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. So there are a lot of people that understand the value of service. Most of you who are in organizations, Greek letter organizations or fraternal organizations, most of them have as one of their tenets service. Everybody believes that service is required in their organization. So why should it be different? Y'all fill in the blank. See, y'all thinking about that question right now. Why should it be different in the church? You know, as veterans, many of you faithfully served, and some of you continue to faithfully serve this country. You know, Veterans Day is all about honoring those who faithfully serve and continue to serve the country, especially those who made the ultimate sacrifice of service. Well, now you're in God's army, and he wants you to faithfully serve him and his people with intentionality. Amen. See, my objective is to encourage and exhort you to intentionally serve God and others on purpose. That means your service shouldn't be accidental. For a purpose, it ought to be a goal or aim that you're trying to achieve, and with purpose. You got to serve with the right attitude. We don't need no soldiers with bad attitudes. You know, sometimes it's best for you not to serve if your attitude is jacked up. Amen. I'm just telling you. So now look, the familiar passage of scripture, we read this one often, but it's so powerful when it comes to serving in Joshua 24. And from Joshua's inspired words to the children of Israel, we clearly see that serving the Lord is a choice. You must decide. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Brother Greg talked about them C-I-D-E words as a suffix. You know, when you have to decide, you know, something got to change in you when you decide that you're going to serve the Lord. And so we must decide that we're going to intentionally serve the Lord and not drift back and forth between the Lord and the gods of this world. We must decide to serve him completely with our whole heart and in a trustworthy and faithful way. Let's see what Joshua's words say. And what I need for you to do is go back and read this later, because between verses 14 and 33, you will find the word serve or some version of it 15 times. Joshua had a lot to say about serving, especially when it came to serving God, because these people were confused. They was trying to serve other gods and God, the only true and living God, at the same. None of you are doing that today because you're sitting up in here in church, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But there are some Christians who are trying to serve two gods at the same. And Jesus said, you can't have two masters. Amen. It's just impossible to serve two masters. So look what Joshua said to the people in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 24. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord. In other words, have a reverential respect for God. Serve him in sincerity. Don't be false and you know, and pretending that you want to serve the Lord. Be true about this thing. He says, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away, somebody said put away. That's what that word decide means. When you decide you're going to serve God, you got to put away those other gods. Amen. He says, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Somebody say, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. That word got emphasis on it right there. That means Joshua raised his voice when he said, he didn't just go, serve the Lord. He said, serve the Lord. There's a difference. Serve the Lord versus serve the Lord. In other words, I want to get your attention, wake some of you up, and let you know that I'm serious about you serving. Oh, good God Almighty. Look at this. He says, now, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, I hope that's not the case in here. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Somebody say, but. That contrast and conjunction. But as for me in my house, those of you who run in households got to make a choice who your children are going to serve. You're going to have to stand up and tell that little 13-year-old one day that as for me and my house, we're going to serve. Because if you don't tell them that, they won't know that, and they will end up serving gods that you don't agree with. Amen. So we have an obligation when it comes to this word serve to think about how we should serve the Lord. And we should serve him in sincerity and in truth. Don't pretend. Don't be a hypocrite. Put on the right face and keep the right face on all the time. When you leave here, don't put on that other face. Be the same person in here that you are out in them streets. Amen. When you serve in here and you dance and praise and shout, when you go out there, let the world know you love the Lord. Amen. So now look at this. Go to the book of Psalms, the 100th Psalm, and I read into your hearing verse 1 through 5. This wonderful psalm of thanksgiving exhorts and encourages us to praise God and give thanks to the Lord. We see that we are to serve, and this word serve here connects more to the worship part of service than the work part. We are to serve God with, somebody say it, gladness. Y'all don't sound like you're glad. We are to serve God with, I mean, when you come to church, this ought to be a glad experience. You ought to be glad to be here. You shouldn't come in here all sour, looking like you hung over from last night. You're supposed to be glad. Amen. This is a house of worship. We come to be, yeah, we got troubles. Yeah, we got problems. Yeah, we got issues going on. But when we come in here, we're supposed to be glad. Don't kill my joy because you all put your problems aside. God got them. And now you come in here to serve him with. And I look out here sometime and some of y'all look so mean. No gladness in you at all. Like, why am I here at 10 o'clock in the morning? No, you got to change your attitude. You ought to be glad that you got up this morning. Some people couldn't even get out of the bed. And you are able to be here. You ought to be. The Bible tells us we ought to be glad. God expects us to come into his house with some gladness. Oh, let me read this for y'all. Look at verse 1. He says in this psalm of thanksgiving, make a joyful. See, you shout for joy when you feel like you don't won something. That's supposed to be a triumphal shout. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. So when we come to church, you ought to expect to shout. Yeah. Wayne, when they come to church, they ought to expect to make a joyful. You don't even have to be in key. You can create your own note, your own octaves, but long as you make a joyful. See, we used to high class church where we let the lights do all the talking. Striving is not that high class. We don't mind getting a little loud because that's what the word shout. I know this thing said. I'm talking about serving not with your voice. Amen. Serving with your hands. Serving with your, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Then he said, serve the Lord with, come before his presence with, good God Almighty. Wayne just got through telling y'all we got to sing. Amen. And when we go through that time of praise and worship, that is on purpose. Because that's an act of service. That's why we call this moment in time our worship service. Because we come to worship and to magnify and to praise him. To get your mind off your cares right now, cast them on him. But now we want to just give him some praise. We want to glorify him. We want to elevate him and magnify him. Why? Because he commands that of us. He said, when you come into my presence, come with some singing. If you can't sing, just shout something. He will accept your shouting. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with shouting, thank you, Lord. I just come to raise and lift up your holy name. See, when we get to church on Sunday, all of y'all pretend like you don't know how to shout. Y'all put on that, But the Bible says, let everything that has breath. If God can get a rock to cry out, he ought to definitely be able to get, Ken, he ought to be able to get something out you. Amen. Ken, he just got to get something. I mean, we didn't come here to just be quiet. God got to get something. He got to get some air in your lungs, and you ought to say, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. If you ain't glad, don't kill our spirit. Amen. Because he told us, Mom, to serve the Lord with come before his presence with thinking. Then look what we got to understand. We got to understand who owns us. Because when we understand who owns us, then we won't have a problem following his command. He says, know that the Lord, he is God. That word Jehovah there, or Yahweh, is talking about the self-existing God. He is God. He is the one who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his. So when the owner of the sheep tell the sheep to praise him, to serve him, to magnify him, to lift up their voice to him, why are the sheep pretending that they don't know how to go baa, baa, baa? You ain't just make a joyful. I ain't asking you to get up here and lead a song. I'm just asking you to praise him, to tell him thank you. If you can't do anything else, you ought to be able to say. Then he tells us, Wayne, how we supposed to enter. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with
praise.
Be thankful to him and bless or praise his
name.
Why? For the Lord is. You serve a good God. And if he's so good, then you owe him a praise just for his goodness. Hallelujah. We're going to take just about a 10-second praise break to just give God some thanks for his goodness. God is good. We come to praise him just for his. He said, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all. Every generation ought to know that you praise the Lord. I don't care if it's Gen Y, X, or Z, and yet they ought to know that they can praise the same God that you praise. That's why the Son let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Y'all doing all right. Y'all doing all right. Ooh. In Matthew now, we shift gears a little bit, because in Matthew 25, we just saw that the Psalms talk about service in reference to worship and the worship service standpoint. But here in Matthew, Jesus, in this parable of the sheep and the goats, talk about service from the standpoint of meeting the needs of others, especially during that time of difficulty or darkness. In the church, we call this benevolent service. In this parable, Jesus gives us the answer to the service test. He emphatically let us know that serving others, when we are serving others, is like serving God himself. When we extend ourselves to serve people who are in need and those who are afflicted, our light will shine in their darkness, and our Father in heaven will be glorified. Let's see what the king say to those who are righteous. I don't want to talk about the wicked, because that ain't y'all. I'm just going to see how you're supposed to understand what he's saying to the righteous when it comes to the separation of the sheep from the goats. And look what he said in verse 34. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come. You are blessed. In other words, you are favored by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. In other words, God has something in store for you even before the world was created.
Yeah, all right.
He has something that he wanted to share with his servants. Because this whole passage and this whole chapter of 25 of Matthew deals with servant.
Uh-huh.
Talk about the good servant over in the previous part. And now he's just talking about when he come back and he's going to take a look and separate some sheep from some goats. And you got to just make sure that you ought to be happy. Y'all should be smiling at this when I read this, because I ain't reading about the goats. I'm making the assumption, Pee-wee, that I'm talking to sheep. Amen. So the outcome for you gonna be pretty good. Long as you go bad, bad. I don't know what a billy goat sound like, so I don't even want to make that sound. Now look at this. Now look what he says in verse 35, acts of service. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Now, the righteous respond with a question that they needed some clarification. You know, Jesus, you just said a lot, but we don't understand when we did all that. You know, sometimes when you serve people and you're doing it from the right motives, you don't even think about what you're doing. Because you ain't looking for nothing in return. He said, now look. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? Well, look at this. He says, when did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? Look what the king says in verse 4. He says, and the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it. Now look here, that'll change your whole mind about serving. If you really thought that when I serve and help Brother Wilson, I'm helping God, my attitude would be different. But see, when we get caught up in our flesh, I see Brother Wilson and I don't see Jesus. And so therefore, my flesh may not want to help Brother Wilson because I just don't like the way he is. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just using him as an example. I like Brother Wilson because Brother Wilson got a servant's heart. But what I'm trying to say is that when we serve, we got to see people like God see them. And we got to see them as if we were serving God him. I believe if we really thought that we were serving God, when we feed people, when we help people, man, we would do it with a whole different attitude. But a lot of times, we don't see people the same way that God. So when God bless you to be able to help somebody, to be able to serve somebody, you ought to do it with the right attitude, because you ought to be doing it as if you are doing it to him himself. Amen. You know, and so Jesus is making it very clear to us that service is a requirement. He served and he expects us to. Amen. Not just the worship part, but also the word part. Amen. Y'all didn't say too loud in that word part. I ain't joined no church to work. Well, what you joined for? What you joining for? Yeah, I ain't joining. I just go there to sit down. I go there just to hear what they got to sing about. No. You go there to serve. I know that wasn't going to go well. I know it's going to be on radio and everybody's going to say, that pastor over there trying to force them. No, I ain't trying to force you to do nothing. The Bible says you ought to serve. Okay, let me go on. Now this, all of y'all who are not titled in the church, mean that you don't carry minister or deacon in front of your name, then y'all could just listen to this one for knowledge sake and use it to hold us title folks. A accountable. Because sometimes we title folks feel like we ain't supposed to. Feel like we ain't supposed to serve. We think we're part of striving to be. So the office that we ascribe to get to sometimes, deacon, came about because of Nephi's. They ain't need nobody to just get up and pray, and they had disciples doing that. They need somebody to bust them dishes. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, when the early church was growing after the day of Pentecost that took place in Acts chapter 2, the office or function or the position of deacon was established to assist the 12 apostles in serving and caring for the people. Because what happened was that was a dispute that broke out between the Hebrew-speaking Christians and the Greek-speaking Christians. In other words, one group felt like they were being discriminated against the other group. In other words, after Pentecost, some people came from all over the region to Jerusalem. And when Pentecost happened, a lot of folk got saved and became Christian, and they stayed there. They didn't have no big bank accounts when they stayed, so people had to put together to take care of everybody else. And then they would have what they called daily distribution of food. And so it looked like they were playing favors with the food. The Hebrew speakers was getting first dibs because they was on home turf. I know JP. JP, come on, get up here to the head of the line, man. I got you. Rob, you from Rome. You from Greece. You from somewhere else. You wait till I get through with JP and Mike and Charlie and Lise. I got to serve them first because them home folk. I know them. We speak the same dialect. I don't even understand what you saying. Can't we know you hungry? I don't even know what that means. You didn't. So now they felt like their widows were being neglected. You know, discrimination do take place in the. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some folk will feed other folk before they feed you. So in this passage, the word serves come from the Greek word diakonos, where we get the English word deacon, which means to serve or to minister. In other words, it means to render any kindness of service to include teaching to anyone who might need it. But in this text, they were to serve by making sure that the daily distribution of release was being given out fairly. So when they came to the disciples complaining, this was the response. In verse 1, it says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, in other words, the church was growing fast because, you know, people got saved. Pentecost had just happened. The Holy Spirit had fell. Man, things was happening. People were sticking around instead of going back home. There arose a complaint. Somebody said a complaint. Somebody said, not in the church. Not in the church. Not in the church. Not in striving. There can't arise no complaint. Because we all serve. And we all serve each other fairly. Not a complaint. Y'all getting mighty quiet. That's what y'all gonna be shouting right there. Y'all getting mighty quiet right there. Y'all may know something I don't know. Not in striving. But here in this church, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Their needs were not being properly met. Even though they had the means, they were discriminating against these folk. So then what they did, the disciples say, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we leave the word of God and serve. Now, some of us preachers took that so literal that think that that meant that we never do anything. I got to pray. I got to go and read my word. I got to pray. See, right here, in context, this was a new church getting up off the ground with a lot of folk there. They needed the word. So the word and prayer was a priority. So he was saying not that they should never wait tables. He was just saying right now the priority for the disciples or the apostles was to teach the word and pray. But when they get through praying, they could help out. Ministers, we see a deacon over there struggling to serve. Once we get a benediction, the priority has changed. I know I wasn't going to get nothing right there. I knew I wasn't going to get not one word right there. When we come off the platform and we give the benediction, our priority is no longer the word. Ministers, I'm talking to y'all specifically. When the amen is given, that same word for minister and the same word for deacon is the same Greek word. And it means to. There's no such thing as a non-serving preacher. That's supposed to be an oxymoron, a unicorn. They shouldn't be on every corner. So preachers, if you're a member of Striver, the membership have been told, you're supposed to. Got real quiet right there. Half of y'all don't even know who all the preachers are, so they safe. You may be serving next to one, don't even know it. Amen. Look at this. So let me read this again. So he was saying that they can't leave the word of God and serve tables. He says now, verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of a good reputation. Just don't pick anybody. Even if you're picking deaconesses, don't just pick any. They ought to have a good reputation. They ought to be full of the Holy Spirit. Man, how can you be a deacon and ain't got no spirit? Amen. Did we miss that? We done ordained you, laid hands on you, and ain't no spirit in? God, I sure hope we didn't miss that. You know, we just ordained some folks about a month and a half ago and a couple about a week or two ago. I sure hope they passed the spirit test. The Holy Spirit test. Okay, well, keep me in context. Full of the Holy. Full of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen from all our deacons? Because Houston, we got a problem, Adrian. If our deacons is not filled with the Holy Spirit. He said you just can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to have some wisdom too. You got to know how to properly apply the word of truth. You got to know how to deal with people in a wise and understanding way. There's the difference between having knowledge and having wisdom. So wisdom is the practical application of what you know. I hope that when we put you all through the deacon training classes that you got knowledge. Now that you got that knowledge, hope that you know now how to wisely apply that knowledge and help people in this church who are in. Say that again. He says, and the reason we need these deacons with wisdom is so that they can be appointed over this business. And a lot of churches, deacons done got their roles confused. They think they're called to preach and tell the sheep what to do. That's the pastor's job. The deacon's job is to wait the tables and take care of the business of the people. But we will give ourselves, he says, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And I told you earlier, when you go back and look up, that word serve in verse 2 and that word ministry in verse 4 is the same Greek word. So when we call people minister, we're just saying you're a server. That's all minister means. I'm a server. It's a title that requires some work. Amen. Amen. If you want the title, you got to do some serving. Amen. But now, just in case you think your service is going to go unnoticed, because everybody may not pat you on the back, deacon. Everybody may not tell you it's a nice sermon, ministers. But you got to know that God has taken note of that. And that anything that you do, it's going to be noted by him. So look at this. Let me just close with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. It says, I want to close by using this passage to encourage and exhort you to intentionally serve the Lord as long as he gives you life, health, and strength. As long as he gives you the ability to serve, serve him with intentionality. Because God would not forget the good work you do for him. See, when you show love to others, we just saw you showing love to him. And when others see that, they will understand that you are a true servant of the Lord. See, salvation ought to change our lives so that we will naturally want to serve God and do good works to advance his kingdom. So today I encourage specifically the leaders of this church, but indirectly to everybody. Don't retreat in your service to the Lord. If you can still use your limbs and your voice and you got some activity, even if you can't do nothing but call some folks. Brother JP, how old are you? That's a 91-year-old man that is still serving the Lord. And I ain't talking about just the worship part of serve. I'm talking about the work part of serve. He's out there in that pantry serving, helping Jennifer and Moles and others build bags and serve people in this community. At 90, he could have retired back at 70 and said, hey, look, I got my 3-story 10. I done did it. I'm done with the thing. I'm going to let somebody else do it. The man is still... And there's someone in here 35 years old and ain't doing nothing. I ain't called no names. If you 35 and that fits you, I'm sorry. Because I want to ignite something in that 35-year-old to say, hey, you didn't come here to be served. You came here to. You didn't come here to watch a 91-year-old man do something that you're able to do also. I know it's going to get tough right there because I know when that word work is bad news in the church, but that's what it means, Lathan. It means serve. It means you got to work. Amen. You got to have some good works. And you got to believe that God is going to reward you for your good works. So look what the writer of Hebrews say here as I close. He says, for God is not unjust to forget your good works and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. When JP go out into that shed out there and serve food, he ain't doing it to the other folks' name. He's doing it in the name of the. And when he do that in God's name, God is not going for. God's not going to forget it. God's going to make note of it, and he's going to be rewarded for what he do in the name of the Lord. That's why when you serve, you got to serve in his name, not your name, because your name ain't good all the time. You got to serve in his name. And thinking I'm doing this as unto the Lord, I'm representing him so I don't get caught up in myself. See, I'm doing this shown toward his name. How? In that you minister, that word serve, that same word, to the saints and do minister. Same Greek word for deacon. And look at this. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. In other words, once you start serving, until you can't serve no more, you don't retire in the Lord's army. You don't put your 20-year plan in and say, well, I'm at 20 now. I'm going to just sit down, let everybody else do all the work now. I ain't moving another chair and striving. I ain't wiping another table down on Wednesday night. I ain't serving as no greeter. Not another day. I done hit 55. I'm through serving. That's the wrong answer. I'm serious. That is the wrong. As long as you are able to, you're supposed to. And you're supposed to do it with the right heart and the right spirit and believe that God is not going to forget your labor of. So my intent is that after this is over, we ought to have some more folks running up flat out. What can I do? I've got this gift. I've got this talent. I want to do something in the kingdom because I have been called to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. He says, now look at this verse. And I got a point I got to make right here. And I'm going to be done with this because this came to me this morning when I was reading this over again. He says, and we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the. And do not become sluggish. Oh, my God. Let me work with sluggish. Oh, I got to work with sluggish, Adrian. You know, because as I was reading that this morning, I thought about a car. You know, when they say your car is running, that means you hit the brake, hit the gas, and instead of it accelerating, it's hesitating. You done put the pedal to the metal, Wayne, and it's supposed to be wrong down the road. And I'll say this. Look here. That's what some of y'all servants look like. God done put the pedal to the metal, and you. Instead of saying the pedal. Peaches, when he put the pedal to the metal, you gonna go. That's what service is supposed to look like. Not. We want to serve with somebody that's hesitating. We want to serve with somebody that got some energy and ready to get some things. That's why he said, don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. Find someone that's running for the Lord. Get away from all these sluggish striving members. If you've been saddled up with someone who's striving who's sluggish, get out the car. Go find somebody that's moving for the Lord. Somebody that's getting things done for the Lord. I know y'all didn't want to hear that, but I'm here to tell you, it's time out for the Lord hitting the gas pedal and striving, and the car ain't going. So find somebody to imitate. Don't imitate nobody who get to church 30 minutes late. Sluggish. They sluggish. They really don't want to be here. They instead of hitting the metal, they sluggish. But then when we say the benediction, they hit the gas. You come in here sluggish and you leave out of here with your foot on the gas, accelerating 100 miles an hour to get out of here. We're going to be around for a few minutes to acknowledge some veterans. And I want y'all to slow down. Don't leave so we get a benediction. Go back there and celebrate some of our veterans. I'm done, man. I don't know how I even got there. So I just want to just leave that last nugget with you. Man, don't be sluggish. You know that word sluggish come from slug. Y'all know what a slug is, don't you? I didn't know that what a snail was. But striving, Wayne, we ain't got time for no slugs. We put salt on slugs. They ain't going nowhere anyway. I can't do that. You belong to the Lord. You don't belong to Boulder. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Know that God is going to reward your labor of love. And right now we're living in a time where people are really struggling. I'm talking about people who had good jobs. This ain't the folks who was, I'm talking about, that was already in the food stamp line. I'm talking about people who was doing well. But because of these crazy times we're living in, there are some people who had good jobs, but they're struggling right now. And we need to have a heart for those who may be going through some things, some difficulties, until our government stop being sluggish. They up there sluggish while people down here suffering. And it's up to the church now that's able to be there for those people who are struggling during these tough times. Because all that will be a labor of love. Amen?